You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere, listen to what I say. The child sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and
I'll tell you the truth, ladies and gentlemen. I could listen to that song on repeat every minute between now and Christmas. I could do that. That is just my favorite Christmas song, Do You Hear What I Hear by Johnny Mathis. I love that song. I love that version. I love that rendition. And this is just such a special time of year, and I'm so fortunate to be able to spend it with you all. And we put up a post to that effect, I guess you could say, yesterday. What separates TPC? Somebody immediately contacted me after we posted that, and they said, well, it wasn't for the reasons you mentioned that separate the political cesspool. It's the fact that you are at once pro-white and pro-Christian. You were the originals. And I got a letter to that effect from Brett in Washington State this week saying that he supports us because of that very reason. And I guess you could say that's true as far as establishment, or not establishment, of course, but as far as mainstream media goes, being on the AM airwaves, that's our market. And we don't want to have any other audience. We don't seek to have an audience other than our own. Keith always talks about the covetousness of other people wanting to have other audiences than the one they've got. I don't want any audience but the one I've got. And I would rather be with you than have a much larger audience if it meant trimming my sales. And certainly we've had that opportunity over the years. But for 13 years, our radio program, accessed on AM radio stations across the country as well as online, has been the premier voice of the dissident right in the high-stakes world of mainstream media. And during that time, we've shared with you many unprecedented accomplishments. And at the end of the day, though, through good times and trying times, you can rely on us to stand up for you. And I don't know how to stop fighting. It would be so much easier to stop. It would be better for I guess, I'd be better off, but the cause wouldn't. And I can't. I can't stop. I don't know how to stop. Nor can I. Because the responsible and disciplined way in which we go about presenting our ideas has simply set our work apart. In addition to being a Christian voice in the pro-white movement, of course, the political cesspool has taken our movement to where the action is, as we've put it over the course of the last couple of weeks, in a way that no other organization has done. No other pro-white media outlet has been offered press credentials to cover presidential rallies. No other pro-white outlet has been offered press credentials to report from Radio Row at the Republican National Convention, where we met with and interviewed an assortment of governors, members of Congress, and future Trump administration officials. No other pro-white media outlet was invited to attend the presidential inauguration, where we were seated on the front row. Now, those are just a few of the countless examples that we can point to, which are made even more remarkable when you consider that we have never backed down from any of our signature issues whatsoever. Now, you know, we don't believe in the whole Big Bang stuff where everything had to be just right in order for this celestial event to occur, and over billions and billions of years, inorganic matter became organic organisms and it evolved into the human lives with consciousness that we are today. We don't believe that, but I will tell you, whatever odds it must have taken for that to have occurred, if you do believe that, the odds would have been about the same for a radio program with our uncompromising positions on the issues to have struck it as big as we have with regards to the accomplishments and the media attention that we have garnered consistently for a decade plus three more years on top of that. That's how rare it is, and that's why we can't let this opportunity go. When we do something, whether it's hosting our own show, making media appearances, we just made a splash in Sweden this week, planning a conference or a rally, as those of you know who were at our event in Memphis in October, or serving as your representatives at official functions like the RNC or the inauguration, you know we're going to present our cause in a righteous manner. You know we're going to do the job the right way. And the point is that we conduct ourselves in a manner that won't embarrass or dishonor our righteous cause. We're trusted, we're battle-tested, we're time-tested, and you know we'll always be there for you so long as we have the means to continue on. So that's why we're bringing this up here at the very top of this segment, very top of this hour before we get to Jack Ryan and Scoop to round out the show tonight. Can I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, to please help us finish the year strong by making a very special Christmas love offering to the political cesspool. You know, we were down and out in November with the loss of my case in the Michigan Court of Appeals, with the loss of our ability to take in funds online. We've got that back and restored better than ever with increased functionality. We actually now have a little members area for our contributors. You can track how much you've given to the political cesspool over time. You'll have your own username and ID. It's a great new system. We're very happy with our web team for having put it in place. So you can still donate securely, discreetly, with a credit card, even right now, during the next commercial break to TPC. You can keep us going. You can keep the good work going and the momentum going. Side by side, you look back on all the stuff we've done. We're going to have a year in review show here in a couple of weeks. You go back over the course of 13 years, and even I can't remember all of the things that have happened. If I ever write an autobiography, I'm going to have to go back through all of these archives because it's just been so much. But I still have faith that our greatest triumphs, the best days for us don't have to be in the past. The best days for us could be in the future, and they will be with your continued support. So, you know, $100 or more, you're going to get the great book, A Call to Arms, as it were, by John Vinson, Southerner, Take Your Stand. But it's not just a book for Southerners. This book that encourages and instructs people on how they can reclaim their lives by reclaiming their identity is not just a book that people below the Mason-Dixon line will appreciate, but it's a book that our wider audience across the country and around the world will enjoy as well. And if I didn't think that, I wouldn't have selected it for our incentive this fourth quarter Christmas fundraising drive. $100 more, you get that book. Of course, $5, $100, $500, it all helps keep us on the air, and we're going to keep doing what we've always done, and that's making a difference in real life and in the real world. And we're going to take you to places that no other organization or spokesman for our cause has done or can do with your help. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org during the break. Give us your support. Please stand with us, folks. We had a down month in November because of the circumstances. We're trying to make up for that and put ourselves in the position to go into 2018 with guns blazing. Donate tonight. We appreciate it. And we'll be back with Jack Ryan right after this.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2, one inning more to play. Then all 5,000 throats recoiled upon the flat for Casey. Mighty Casey was advancing to the bat. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped.
"That ain't my style,"
said Casey.
"Right what?"
the umpire said. She signaled to the pitcher. Once more the spheroid flew.
"I think I'll just ignore it."
And the umpire said,
"Right two."
Now, something different than we read about in the poem. Casey thought of Mom and Dad and time she spent at home. She relaxed, she smiled, her confidence, it grew, and above the roar of the crowd, she heard her dad shout,
"Follow through!"
Somewhere, men are laughing and children having fun. And tonight, there's joy in Mudville, for Mighty Casey hit a home run.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, "Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about?" Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Folks, I got to tell you, I look forward. This is only his second week in the regular rotation, but I look forward to Jack Ryan's appearances. I really enjoyed his debut appearance, his official appearance on the show last week. He was on with us, of course, for a few minutes during the anniversary celebration in October. We kind of introduced you to Jack last week and gave you a little bit of an idea of what you could expect from Jack each and every week. During his dedicated segment, he's going to be offering book reviews, movie reviews, song recommendations. And he wanted to come in tonight, a true Renaissance man and a great mind who is going to bring something to our show that I don't think anybody else in our stable of talent, including our invited guests, really cover. A unique, an eclectic guy. Jack wanted to come in tonight to pour side of town. Why is that, Jack?
Well, I love the artist, Johnny Rivers. I think it's romantic. But also, I just think that those of us who stand up for truth, and we stand up against the most corrupt elites and media mafia, but conservatives, we sort of, might be moving towards a little bit of the poor side of town. That's kind of what we have to do. But that's if you stand up for what's right, you gotta accept some things. And it might be, we're not taking the 30 pieces of silver. We're not getting rich betraying our people. So we might be hanging out a little bit in the poor side of town.
Hey, it's like the great Johnny Rivers said in that song, Jack, together we can make it, baby, on the poor side of town. And we have to have that togetherness. Of course, that's what we're here to forge. Hey, Jack, your theme tonight, strengths and weaknesses of our different people, room for improvement, and some suggestions. What do you got for us tonight, Jack?
Okay, so I'm going to start off with a joke about our people, self-depreciating joke. The joke is a little bit dated, but there's a lot of truth in it. Okay, hopefully I get this right. In European heaven, the cooks are French, the lovers are Italians, the policemen are English, and the whole thing is run by the Germans, okay? In European hell, the cooks are English, the lovers are Germans, the policemen are French, and the whole thing is run by the Italians. Okay, so it's a little bit dated. This is a time when Italy had much more changes in governments, and the only Western country more instability and changes in governments was Argentina, which is a nation that's populated by Italians. Okay, so some things have changed in that, like Germany, post-World War II, was the most stable outside of Switzerland, which is populated by Germans. But now Germany has this terrible leader, Angela Merkel, this childless hag, and she basically invited a million-plus Muslim young men to flood into Germany to actually assault and rape people. So, like, the Germans aren't doing so good. But that's sort of my theme, is that there are different groups of our people, including the southern people, who are very good at some things but have some weaknesses, and we have to, like, try to work to improve. So that's sort of the theme of my show, of my commentary tonight.
All right. Well, don't stop there, my friend. Now, I do have to say, we have taken Jack from the firing pan and into the fire as we transition him into to this new role. And, of course, you've probably known him and loved him from his time as a contributing writer for OccidentalDescent.com, which he still does, of course.
Yes.
But we said, I told Jack, you know, it's going to be one segment. And so after 1 week, we've already extended it to 2 segments because Eddie's out
all
tonight,
right.
And I wanted more Jack. So we've got Jack for this segment and one more. So he's already doubled his workload after only 1 week on the job. So anyway, hey, this is your dime, your dance floor, Jack, as far as I'm concerned. So
I must have gotten some decent reviews, better than the latest George Clooney movie that bombed, or the feminist remake of Ghostbusters, you know. So, we're getting some good reviews, and I'm honored to be back for the second week. I think it's the best show of its kind, and we're going to go for it.
Yeah, I should say before you continue, we did get quite a bit of positive feedback from your introductory segment last week, where you told people a little bit about yourself, your background, what they
right.
can expect in your segment. So we're still trying to establish this as a norm, which for a show that has been on the air as long as ours, that has had such a set cast and rotation for so many years, it's unusual that we add something new, but there was good reason for that. So anyway, continue on with what you want to share with the audience this
week. Okay, so I mentioned last week that I am a Midwest. I grew up in Chicago, but I have a tie to the South. I went to college at Vanderbilt, and then after graduate school, after I had 5 incredible years in New York City and witnessed just the incredible things, and including basically the collapse of civilization and then the Islamic terrorists and stuff. So I moved back to Tennessee in the early 90s, and I was sort of on a mission to tell people what was going on, what we can expect. And that's when I learned about the corruptions of the neoconservatives, and I met the Pat Buchanan people that explained how these wars in the Middle East, these neoconservative wars in the Middle East, supposedly for freedom and democracy and all these things, were a disaster. So I took out full-page advertisements in the Nashville, Tennessee, and the Chattanooga Times, also the Vanderbilt newspaper. They did. And then I got on talk radio. And I presented an opposition to the war, not from an anti-military pacifist or left-wing, but from a pro-American, American-first position like Donald Trump did. And I quoted George Washington's farewell address to the nation, where he warned about the insidious influences of foreign governments. And I listed all the groups that were pushing this war that were not, you know, pro-American. And I predicted exactly what was going to happen, that there would be, when we move the Baathists, Saddam Hussein, there'd be an anarchy, sectarian violence, and the Christians would get slaughtered in genocide. And we've had 25 years of just anarchy. It's been a disaster. But sort of my problem, the weakness, is that most people in the South, and what's going on there, they didn't accept the idea that the only people that would be against the military, against the war, would be liberals, leftists, Jane Fonda, Vietnamese people. And I was getting some here, but our enemies, they have so much power and money, and they can always disguise their program as some type of fake conservative, fake patriot, nationalist way to disguise it. And they ended up getting this pop singer, Hank Williams Jr., to crank out this pro-war mongering one, like a song like Don't Give Us a Reason to Kick Your Ass and Saddam is Hitler and we're going to go off and we're going to be in. And the propaganda basically worked. About 80 or 85% of Tennesseans or Southerners liked the war. They thought it was successful. But then, it kind of fell down. So this is an area that I think that our Southern people need to improve on a little bit, is that they like the military. They like wars. They like guns. But the reality is we haven't had, like, a pro-American war since, like, the War of 1812. You know, so this is an area where we can have improvements. You know, and then these wars are not going to be pro-American wars. They're going to be against Arab nationalists, basically secular Arab nationalists, or European nationalists, Serbian nationalists, Russians. Eastern European and Central Europeans are sensible about Islam. They have the same culture that we have. So this ability of our enemies to, like, wave the flag and say, support the troops, and we got to fight, you know, we've got to step back a little bit, and we can't just blindly go along with any, you know, war, any military venture. The propaganda this year, they were trying to start another war against the secularists in Syria. They were trying to say Assad is Hitler, and he's gassing little children. You know, how many little children was he gassing? Like 6 million of them? Fortunately, it didn't come off. But, you know, so this is an area we got to work in. We got a little of a weakness that our people are too... they accept any pro-war, you know, one without looking behind the scenes. So that's kind of...
Hold on right there, Jack. Hold on right there, brother. We're going to come back. We've lengthened Jack's time tonight to 2 segments, so he's going to be back for part 2 right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
So Jack Ryan is the most newly minted contributor to the Political Cesspools cast, and one thing I think you'll begin to look forward to every week is his recommendations with regards to, he's a man who loves the arts, he loves the humanities, books, movies, and songs, and he's going to give you that every week. Typically, he will be on for one segment. It's going to be short and punchy. In addition to the recommendations, he will have a topic that he hits fast and furious, and then he's gone until the next week. Tonight with Eddie out, I wanted to stretch Jack for two segments to give him a little more a little bit more of a run. And Jack, we're talking about strengths and weaknesses of our people, room for improvement, and some suggestions. So keep on keeping on.
Right. Well, again, these are suggestions. I made the mistake right when I came out of New York City in the 90s. I felt like I had a mission. I had to save the South. I had to tell people what was going on, and I had to tell them what was wrong. And it didn't really work because people don't want to tell you that their last 100 years of wars have been wrong. You know, you don't want to tell that. So you want to just suggest things. You want to compliment people on theirs. But there's some areas where, yeah, we can make a little bit more of a, you know, improvement. And I had such a great time at your anniversary party. South is still South. Black Americans in Memphis were good Southern Americans. White Americans in the South, good Southern Americans. Well, we got some areas where, you know, we could just do a little better. Another thing I kind of noticed when I was around here is that the Southern people don't do a lot of walking. Okay, they eat 3 square meals a day or maybe more, but they don't walk. And they've got a few pounds, you know, on them. So one where we could do a little bit better is to put in some sidewalks, you know, and walk a little bit. You know, there's an area that you could go. Another way of improvement, we're talking tonight about the bad relations between men and women. We're not doing well. We're getting asked, you know, just the idea of sexual harassment, of asking a woman that you go to work with to go to lunch, you're gonna get nailed for sexual harassment. So here's one thing that I highly recommend our people do, and we teach, is to teach our young people, particularly our men, to do partner dancing. And this is not this, you know, line dancing. It's not a stripper dance, but it's where the man leads and the woman follows, and it's a real dance. You got to put in some time. And so these churches that say dancing is immoral and stuff, no, that's not. There's only so many things that men and women can do well together, and one of them is dancing. And I got good at dancing. You can ask Hunter Wallace at his wedding. I was the best dancer. You get good at dancing, partner dancing, you're not going to have problems finding dates. And that's something that there's an area that's room for improvement.
Now, that is, in fact, good practical advice. So often we talk about current events. We talk about what's in the news. It is good to put in, to pepper in, into a broadcast, practical advice that will benefit and help our people. Good on you, Jack.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And then, again, with this issue of the wars and the warmongering, you know, you're not going to tell veterans of World War II or even the Gulf Wars that they were used and abused in their wars were worthless and stuff like that. So what you want to try to do is to try to sort of change the subject. You want to, you know, approve of their service for the country, their courage and the like, but you don't want to tolerate people going on and with just accepting neoconservative Zionist propaganda to hate the Russians, hate our Serbian people. And, you know, that's kind of just kind of moving on. And the other ones, I don't know, it's a sensitive subject, but I also believe that there's a lot of room to promote healthy pro-Southern or pro-Western civilization liberal type things, including, like, what is the most intolerant, illiberal, you know, movement in the world? It's 8th century Islam. Okay, they don't even let women show their faces in public. The Taliban was packing soccer stadiums in Afghanistan and executing people, women who showed their faces in public. So that's the most illiberal, you know, movement in the world. And there are some Westerners in Western Europe, particularly in Holland and stuff, that do manage to promote pro-Western against Islam from a more secular, liberal thing. That's not the same thing as feminist or anything goes homosexual stuff, but it's the idea that we have freedoms and that it's not the 8th century and women have the right to get an education or get a job or and show their faces in public. A lot of our women are beautiful. Most third world Islamic women are not very beautiful. So I think it's the Islamic men that should be put in the burqa. They're so hateful and ugly instead of the women. But anyway, that's again, it's just a suggestion that I have.
All right, Jack. Now, I know you have a lot more in the tank tonight. And at some point, I definitely want to hear you regale us on what it was like. You talk about a man who's lived through the horrors of Obama. This was a man who lived in Obama's home district before he was an up-and-comer in the state of Illinois. And so he's got the scoop on Obama before any of us ever knew his name. And Jack can give us that. And I do want to get into that at some point. I don't know if time's going to permit tonight. But let's get into your recommendations, because we never want to hit the wall without you doing that, because I think this is going to be a mainstay of your appearances. So let's talk talk books and movies, and then we'll get to the song.
Okay. Well, last week I recommended both a movie and a book, Norman McLean's The River Runs Through It, which is about the life of a friend of my family who was Norman McLean, was raised in Montana, the son of a Presbyterian minister, and it's about his life, family, fishing, fighting, and things like that. And the movie was just a tremendous movie by Robert Redford, and Brad Pitt was in it before it became this terrible one. So I hope our audience at home, I hope everyone read the whole book, A River Runs Through It. Probably not. Maybe some people watch the movie, but you can just watch the trailer to the movie, which takes, 3 minutes or something instead of other rest. Okay, so this week I'm recommending, my film recommendation is The Man Who Would Be King. It was in 1975. It was produced by John Huston. It's about a short story by Rudyard Kipling, and it's starring Sean Connery and Michael Caine. I think it's maybe Sean Connery's best movie of all time. It's about some very lower-level British soldiers in India, and they decide to go up a bit to Afghanistan and sell arms and just kind of go out there on the world. And they have some successes in the military, and they're Freemasons. And then we get up to the era where Alexander the Great was before. And not only do they do very well, the locals think they're gods. They think they've become gods, and they get elevated to the top of the world, the highest part of the world, and then it falls down. And this is just a beautiful movie, and it's about that time when the British world was the greatest of all time, and boy, has Britain gone down badly now. So anyway,
you got that right.
My recommendation is The Man Who Would Be King, directed by John Huston, starring Sean Connery and Michael Caine. And my musical recommendation is another cover version of the Fleetwood Mac song Little Lies, and the artist is Tavin, a beautiful young woman. And I like to use this song for basically like propaganda purposes. When there's an article during a time when the leftist media is pushing terrible lies about Trayvon Martin or Black Lives Matter or some neocon conservative warmongering about Syrian stuff, you play this clip about telling lies, little lies, and it goes, the crowd likes it. And I think we need to use music and images and humor much more to present our position instead of just words and talking. So that's my recommendation for this week.
Hey, Jack, thank you so much. Let's fire up that song. You'll hear more from Jack Ryan again next week and every week here on TPC. And, yes, I agree in what you said. We need to use the arts in our favor instead of a weapon against us. And next time you hear these lies, and there's so many, think of this song as recommended by your friend and mine, Jack Ryan. Jack, thank you. We're going to wrap up the show with Scoop Stanton in the next segment, but not before hearing Jack's song recommendation of the night. Here it is now. Do we have the song queued up? All right, let's play it. Here we go. Ready when you are, Maestro. Thank you.
close my eyes, but I couldn't find a way, so I settled for one day to believe in you. Tell me, tell me, tell me lies, tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies, tell me lies. Oh no, no, you can't disguise, you can't disguise.
You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks. Well, from our newest contributor to our oldest, a mainstay going back to the very beginning of the show, Scoop is with us tonight, our D.C. area correspondent, and let's see what Scoop has on tap tonight. Scoop, what do you want to talk about? All right, hang on. I'm having trouble hearing you. Go again, Scoop.
All right. Can you hear me?
There you go. Okay, I got you now.
Okay, let's talk about Jimmy's porch.
Okay. I know what this is. Yeah, I got you. Go. Yeah, go. Yeah, go. Go.
Okay, all right. Now I have a hard time hearing you, but that's again for buying a track phone from Jim Lancia. All right, well, anyway, some time ago, one James Edwards was asked to appear on a Swedish reality program called Jill's Veranda. The premise was that the singer named Jill, who's popular over in Europe, is in Nashville, Tennessee, doing looking at country music acts. Now, why would Mr. Edwards be in the show? He's from Memphis, Tennessee, not Nashville, which is across the state. And his forte and expertise is in the early 60s doo-wop and pop music, i.e. Frankie Valli. And he's the host of a talk radio show. It has nothing to do with country music. It would be like me going on Soul Train. Anyways, that first season, I scanned through hours and hours of absolute garbage to watch this James's 15 minutes of fame, which is literally about 15 seconds. But while he was on camera, he spoke about the differences in race and how rap music is misogynistic while compared to country music, which is really about life. And that was it, literally. No interaction with Jill or just anyone else, for that matter. He was just somewhere, some street in Nashville, talking to himself or talking to the cameraman. Fast forward to the present season. James meets Jill, finally meets Jill and a friend somewhere in rural Tennessee, I guess, at a convenience store with table and chairs. Now, James gets out of a car wearing a suit looking like $1 million. I mean, folks, his hair was perfect. But he meets Jill and her friend, and I don't know who she is or what her purpose is, but is a conversation about, like, country music, the music scene in Europe, or anything like that, or even the early 60s doo-wop, or his favorite subject, Led Zeppelin? No, it's about race and race relationship. And I have no idea what this has to do with country music, but oh well. So Jill's friend started grilling Mr. Edwards about the successful statement of principles, attempting to make him look like some sort of monster. As usual, James handled the situation with class and finesse. He did not stutter, stammer, backpedal, or make excuses. He was loaded for bear. He, too, did his homework. When talking about the white birth rate, he was less crass than I would have been. I would have been very, very graphic. But then the two ladies from Sweden made up some bogus statistic that Swedish husbands rape their wives more than the Muslims rape women in the street. But, of course, James threw it right back in their face. Again, this was a reality show based on country music, but the producers added a controversial talk show to show Sweden that Tennessee is full of toothless, racist dicks. But instead, they brought in one, James Edwards. But three things I did take from the sit-down. First of all, it was reminiscent of the movie Heat, where Robert De Niro and Al Pacino's characters sat down face-to-face for the first time. But here's another point. Why was it a convenience store? I mean, there's no privacy. It's a convenience store. It should have been in a bar, a park, or somewhere more appropriate. Secondly, Jill was making googly eyes at Mr. Edwards. Also, Jill's friend was also making googly eyes. So I don't know. He must have had a great brand of aftershave.
It was the cologne, yeah.
But when I interview people such as Sheriff David Clark or talk radio host David Webb, those men did not have the same dreamy look as Jill and her friend. And third, the camera panned to two cast members from Hee Haw picking up Bush Tallboys from the cooler. I was more interested in this story than James and the two broads. James, back to you.
Scoo. Well, we started and finished with that. With that little raid into Sweden that was done 9 months ago, but people just found out about it tonight. Well, I appreciate you putting a little humor onto the whole situation, tongue in cheek about that being my 15 minutes of fame 3 years ago when we appeared on the first season. You know, that, I will say this, even though I don't know about 7 hours, 59 minutes, and 45 seconds of what I appeared on tape in that season got on the cutting room floor. We got about a half a minute of play that season. I said this before. Of all the press we've done, all the media this show has gotten over the course of the last 13 years, the performance that I gave that all got edited out of the show. We were supposed to have what I got in this show, which was about 10 minutes. I was supposed to have a recurring role in the first season. It was going to be on about 10 minutes a show.
It's an hour-long show. It airs, you know, weekly. It's going to be in about 10 minutes per show for the whole run. We ended up getting about a half a minute for the whole season. But what I got in this show is what I was supposed to have gotten that season. No big deal, but it was a great performance. I thought I was just really as on target and on point and as sharp as I ever have been with the press. And nothing got on there. And on this, I thought I just came in. It was just sort of just like a casual conversation. Not my best performance. You know, I wasn't really invested in it, I guess, to the fullest extent. And it's made so much news over there in Sweden. I don't think I did a bad job. It just, you know, I didn't give a full effort because, you know, I didn't know if it was going to be a replay of season one where none of it makes it and, you know, whatever. But it was fine. It was fine. It was fun. But it was not supposed to happen in a gas station. Well, they said, yeah, we're going to move it from, you know, because they're trying to introduce Sweden to the south and to Nashville. And we're going to have it at this country store. Well, that's a creative way of putting it. It was in a gas station, as you could tell. And so certainly I wasn't dressed to appear in a gas station. But, of course, that was the optics of it all. You can't have these ideas without being retrograde, right? So either you're going to have a guy like me talking about the ideas we're talking about in the most unattractive setting possible. Optics are big. Well, that's Warner Brothers for you. What are you going to do? It was still a paid gig. We still had a good time. Great people. I tell you, the crew, though, the actual crew on the ground there, and I said this in the first hour, the crew on the ground, even the two ladies themselves, very, very I had a great time with them. I mean, it was fun. It was cordial. It was professional. And even the PA, the producer that was assigned with the, you know, my handling was just a great young lady from Sweden. So all of that was fine. But at least after 3 years, at least we finally got some airtime over there, as was promised. And it was a good experience. In the pantheon of TPC, probably not the biggest deal, but it was made into a big deal by their press, so therefore we gave it some publicity tonight. But yeah, I agree with you, Scoop. It looked like the cast of Hee-Haw was in that convenience store with us. And yeah, I think would you have gone and joined the Bush Tall Boys crew? You're the one who picked that out. Every time I would say something, it would have the guy going to the beer fridge to get a tall boy. I guess that was supposed to make my ideas look, I don't know, backwards. But those are probably our people. And they can show those people all I want. You know, that's my audience. That's who I want. That's what we're about. There's nothing wrong with being working class. I can guarantee you that those men in their T-shirts coming in after a day's work, going and getting a beer, I can guarantee you they're more educated. I can guarantee you they have more common sense and they have more intelligence than these people trying to be sophisticants and trying to make us look bad for that big audience in Sweden. So that's our crowd, right, Scoop?
Yep. So what I would have done, James, is one of the Hee-Haw actors was going over the coolers, like, hey, man, can you give me a Pabst? And just sat there and just crack one open in front of the ladies.
Well, they offered me whatever I wanted to drink. I picked a bottled water. I guess that would have made for good. Now, see, Scoop, you're thinking ahead of me. That would have made for TV to ask the Hee-Haw guy to bring me a Pabst. I don't drink Pabst, though. That's your brand, isn't it?
Well, one of many brands.
You know me, if it Pabst Blue Ribbon Tall Boy, that's Scoop's drink of choice. You know, I don't drink anything that doesn't come in a box, so I don't think they had that there.
Right. They don't sell fine boxes of wine at the gas station slash convenience store in the middle of Podunk, Tennessee.
And I'll tell you, it was about an hour out of Nashville. This whole thing was filmed in Nashville. They had to go an hour out to find a place like that. But, you know, like I said, I wasn't put off. I love these people. I'm not talking bad about them. Everybody in that store, I guarantee, is a fine American, somebody we'd have a lot in common with. I'd go up and shake their hand. I'd invite them to my home. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'm them and they're me. But that's not.
You should give them business cards. You said, hey, how you doing? I'm from Memphis. I got this great radio show. By the way, here's my producer's car, Scoop Stan. He's up in Washington, D.C. But anyway, why did that one lady get excited of seeing a train go by? It's a train. I
mean, yeah, I don't know why they were so shocked by the train. But, yeah, I also appreciate you liking it to Al Pacino and Robert De Niro sit down in heat. Cracked me up. Well, anyway, folks, if you haven't seen it, go check it out online. For Scoop, for Jack, for Keith, for the rest of the staff and crew, Sam, I'm James. We'll see you next week. God bless you.
On the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.